We were going to look at the whole area of teamwork, but I'm going to postpone that, and when we do the True Grit series in the new year, we'll actually be doing a whole load of about three or four on the whole area of team. So if you're involved with a team, do look out for those and make sure you get along to those if you can, because hopefully they'll be really, really useful. But because I've kind of delayed it a little bit, because I thought it'd be better if they were all together, so I thought we'd just look at, just simply look at making the most of Christmas. Making the most of Christmas. Now, we've mentioned all the things that we don't like about Christmas, but this is really kind of looking at Christmas and thinking, how can we make the very, very most of Christmas? Are you okay over there? My son's just broken the chair, I think, or something. One of the dangers of Christmas for me is that Christmas, and I didn't want to say this when John was asking the question, but one of the downsides for me is Christmas can be a major rush, can't it? Everything can be rush, 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 rush. And before you know it, you've got past Christmas, and you had all these great and wonderful intentions, didn't you? All the things that you were going to do at Christmas time, and before you know it, it's just gone flying past, and the opportunities have come past us, and we're into 2017, and you're thinking, oh, well, Christmas 2017 is a long way off, so I don't need to think about that at all. And that's one of the dangers for me for Christmas. Even though I do a lot at Christmas time, one of the dangers is some of those little, simple little things that I could have done, I never actually got around to doing. Do you know, I always used to keep a few of the cards that we have in my pocket when I was dog walking up at the park, thinking, you know, hopefully I'll meet one of these guys that I talk to, Ian or Nigel, someone like that, and I'll be able to invite them to the carol service. Did I ever do that? Never did. Never got round to it. Never saw them at the right moment and all those kind of things. You kind of look back and think, what if I could have done a bit more at Christmas time? And I'm not talking about us as individuals here. I'm not talking about how to make your Christmas even better, how to get more presents or more love on you at Christmas time. I'm actually talking about thinking about those who don't know this incredible story to be true in their own lives. How can we make the most of Christmas for these people who are outside this situation? I had a real pleasure this week where I took an extra day off, which is always a real pleasure. To have 2 days off in a week is something special for those of us that minister. But I decided I was going to take an extra day off, and I went to see a good friend of mine called Ian Sinclair. In fact, some of you may remember Ian Sinclair because he did away weekend about 4 years ago down in Bournemouth. And I went to see Ian, and Ian's off sick at the moment from work, but we got together and we had some food together. And we were talking about Christmas, and Ian reminded me, he said, do you know, for me, Christmas is the greatest opportunity for us to share our faith than we will have ever in the calendar. Now, we all know that, don't we? We know that the greatest, the easiest opportunity for us to share our faith is at Christmas time. It's the time when people are more open to spirituality, they're more open to the Christmas story, they're all more open to hearing about what Jesus has done for them, they're more open to be invited to church. You know, they're more likely to come to church at Christmas time than any other time in our calendar. It's the biggest and greatest opportunity. But one of the problems is that we are so busy, so rushing around, getting the cards written, getting the presents wrapped, getting our family stuff organized, that actually to think outside of ourselves and think about the person that may actually accept an invitation to discover of this beautiful and wonderful story about Jesus might actually just pass us by, mightn't it? It might just pass us by. And so I wanted us to stop and think and actually be very intentional about what we might do. I don't know if you realize this, but Christmas is just 2 weeks away. So I kind of thought, as I was putting this together, as I decided to change topic, actually, early in the week, I suddenly thought to myself, have I done this too late? But then I had this thought, and I don't know if it's from the Lord or not, probably not. Don't have many from the Lord, but I had this thought. I thought, well, even if we do this talk now, and some of us intentionally do something in the next 2 weeks, at least we can't say, well, it's a little way off, so we kind of forget about it. Nor can we say it's too late. You know, we've gone past it. So maybe we're at a moment, just a moment, when we can actually stop and say, actually, I am going to make a commitment to God to do something, maybe just one thing, one intentional thing, that will give someone else the opportunity to discover the true story of what God has done for them. So I want to suggest four things. I've got three things. Is it four? Yeah. Oh, no, it may be five. We'll see. We'll see how we go on. The first thing is this. And I won't spend a lot of time, and you may just all fall off to sleep when I say this, because you'll say, we are so fed up with you saying this to us, Joth. But I'll say it anyway, because I think it's really important. But I feel it's been the theme all the way through 2016, because I remember saying this right at the beginning of 2016. Find time to be with the Lord. I know you've heard me say that loads of times. But find time at this moment in time. Find some time. In fact, actually, if you've got your diaries in front of me now, in front of you, you can actually get them out and find a time and book a time in and say, this, I'm going to spend some time with God reading the Nativity stories once again. Going to Matthew 1 and 2 and going to Luke 1 and 2. And reading the whole stories. Maybe some of you have done that. But in fact, if you've been doing the Bible readings through the year, you may have actually done that. I know my Bible readings have just been around Luke's Gospel, which was wonderful. Just going back to read the stories. In fact, what we're going to do is we're just going to read just a little snippet from the story. And I just want you to, I don't want you to read it. I just want you to listen to it. I'll try and read it as best I can. But I just want to read this to you. And as we do this, you might just want to kind of flip back into the Nativity experience, or maybe you've got a picture in your own head, but I'm just going to read the first few verses of Luke 2, which is entitled for us, The Birth of Jesus. And just sit and listen and remind yourself that this is what God did for you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Aquinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That is what God has done for you. And one of the most important things for us is to spend some time re-immersing ourselves in what God has done for us. Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. If we do not get passionate about what Jesus has done for us, through this remarkable story, this true story of him coming into this earth, if we, Christians, do not get excited by that, we will never share it with anyone. We will never share it with anyone. There'll be nothing oozing out of us. There'll be nothing overflowing from us. And we will just do our thing, our tradition, sing our songs, our carols, listen to the readings, and we will go, that was nice, wasn't it? Wasn't the candles sweet? But everyone outside will just be still living their lives, buying from the company with the Zon at the end of it. Like that one, John. Or Argus, or whoever it is. They will just continue doing that, blissfully unaware that God Almighty, who put all of the universe into place, was laid in a feeding trough where animals once ate. Because he entered into a poor family, and they could not enter into the inn. There was no space for them. God did that for you. Of course, you know the story goes on, but we need to spend time, do we not, immersing ourselves in God's love for us, in what he has done. So that's the first thing. Take time to prepare yourself. Read the story again. Re-immerse yourself. Take time to pray. Second thing is stop and consider those people around you that are not yet believers. I'm going to pass around you all a piece of paper. Pete, if you could take one of those and just keep passing it back. If likewise, thank you on that side. And I have some pens as well. If you don't need a pen, don't take one. But if you do need a pen, do take one. I would like those pens back because they are my birthday present. So that would be nice to have those back, please. So please don't wander off my pens like my son does when he takes my pens. You got your own now, yes, that's right. When you get your piece of paper, what I want you to do, so you have a piece of paper like this, I want you to very, very carefully, because this is very important to me, to fold it very, very carefully to make sure it's absolutely even. That's because I'm just a nut, all right? And I fold it in half, okay? Once you fold it in at half, then I want you to take this side and fold it up like that. And then the other side, and fold it up like that. Doesn't really actually matter. You just need four columns. But it's a bit of fun halfway through a sermon. So you've got something that concertina's like this. Yeah? It's really nice if it's nice and neat. But some of you, if you're like Chris, won't be bothered in the slightest if it isn't. Okay. Has everyone got a piece of paper and done a bit of folding? Not yet. No, we're still going around with bits of paper and pens. Okay, once you've got your four columns, you're going to write on the top. Now, some of you young people may have to put college or school, but most of us put work colleagues or people that we see during the day in a kind of work scenario. Or if we're not in a work scenario, we might not use that column. But work or school or college. Don't worry, if there's no one that falls into this category, you don't have to worry. The next one is neighbours. Okay, the next column is neighbours. So you write neighbours on the top. Next column is family. So you write family on the top. And the next column is friends. So I'll just run through those again. So there's work colleagues or college or school. Neighbours is the second column. Friends is the third column. And family is the last column. Now what I want you just to do, just for a couple of minutes, and we'll just do this. I don't know if Nick's got a CD up there or something you can play. It might be anything, mightn't it? Who knows? But while we just for a couple of minutes, I'm just going to ask you just to list any names, and you can write their name, you can write their surname, or you can just abbreviate it if you want, or if you want to draw a little picture of them, you probably haven't got time to do that. But so write their name, or if you want to put a little code on there, or that just abbreviation, that's fine. Down of any work colleagues that you're, as far as you're aware, aren't yet believers. Then write any neighbours, as far as you're aware, that aren't believers in this list. Then write any family members, as far as you are not believers in Jesus at this point in time. And then, sorry, friends. Third column's friends, sorry. Was it family? Did I say family? I'm reading it upside down and getting it wrong. So the third one's family, I think, for you. And then friends. Do the same for friends. So any friends that you've got who aren't believers. And you just can make a quick list of people that come to mind very, very quickly. For the next just couple minutes before. Great. So you may want to take that away and continue to do that. And I don't know how many names. You may have just a few names. You may have a whole load of names. What I'd love you to do, and you don't have to do this, but what I'd love you to do is take that away and spend some time just praying over that list. And as you pray over that list, there may be two or three, maybe just one, person that you think this Christmas time I'm going to intentionally invite that person to something so that they might engage with the true story of Christ. So take it away, pray over it. You may ring them all. And that would be great. That would be absolutely fantastic. If you rung them all and you did all of them, that would be great. But I don't want you to feel like you're going to do that. But if you could do one or two, that would be absolutely marvellous. So the next thing is, so we spend time immersing ourselves, re-engaging ourselves with the Christmas story of God's love for us. The second thing we do is we consider and think about those who are outside of the story, not yet inside the story. Then the third thing we do is we invite them into the story. We invite them intentionally into the story. That word intentional, again, has been a word for 2016. And I am feeling stronger and stronger in my own Christian life. If I do not do things intentionally, they just don't happen. Going back to my scenario, my great intentions of giving an invite to Nigel or Ian, who walks their dogs up at the park, or one of the two of the others, I don't know their names, tend to know the names of their dogs, but not the name of them. And do you know the strange thing is, I never did. I never actually got an invite into their hands because it just never happened. Have you ever been in that experience? You think, do you know, when I see them, when I bump into my neighbour, when I'm, you know, I'm often bumping into my neighbour by the car. Next time I see them by the car, as they're going out or I'm going out, I'll invite them to whatever's going on. And do you know what? You never see your neighbour until Boxing Day. And suddenly you can't get rid of your neighbour at that point. So intentionality, actually saying, I'm going to do something. I'm actually going to go round. I'm going to knock on their door. I'm going to put it in their hand and say, this is important to me. I'd like to personally invite you to this thing that is taking place is absolutely key if we're going to make the most of Christmas for them. I guess this should really be about making the most of Christmas for someone else, really. One of the things you could do is you could have a Christmas party. And I wanted to do a little interview because there is someone far much more qualified than I to talk about hosting your own Christmas party with friends and neighbours. So, Linda, if you would like to come and join me, if Linda can use this radio mic, that'd be great. So, Linda, let me just ask you a few questions.
Okay.
So, I understand that you and Simon have hosted a number of Christmas parties. Give us an idea of how many you've kind of done over the years. Did you do it in Farringdon?
No, actually, we didn't.
Okay.
We were discussing that, actually, and we didn't. We knew a lot of people in our street, but it didn't. And we were thinking about why we didn't, and I think it's because they were our family years. You're kind of tied up with young children and all the rest of it, and your head is in a different place. But we have that slight more freedom now.
So what made you think we would host, because you host a Christmas party for your neighbours,
mm-hmm.
yeah? What made you think we would host a Christmas party for your neighbours?
Well, when we were in Farringdon, we didn't have a party at our house till about, we'd lived there 15 to 20 years, which was ridiculous. And when we moved here, we intentionally, this was the intentional thought, actually, we can't wait 15 years. You know, we're getting older. We're not getting any younger. So we've got to get on with it now. You know, we need to meet our neighbours now. So it was perfect. We were in a situation, of course, moving into a new area, a new street, and we intentionally decided that we wouldn't wait, but we moved in the August. And that Christmas, we would invite our neighbours in.
So what was the hardest thing for you to make this happen?
Well, we hadn't a clue lived in any of those houses at all. We just didn't know. And that was the August. So a couple of weeks before Christmas, we prayed and decided we would just put invitations through their doors because we were anonymous, they were anonymous. So actually, if they didn't come, we'd be a bit upset, but we couldn't be offended because we didn't know them and they didn't know us. So we... Oh, shall I carry on?
I don't know.
Did you
I
want
didn't
to
know
ask
what you
another
were
question? So if any of you know Walesmead Road, and a lot of you have been in our house, you will know that it's a very, very long road. And we thought we can't invite the whole lot because what if they did actually come?
Yes.
You know, that wasn't on the agenda. So we did some geography, actually, of the road, and we then invited up to the first turning, as it were, and did the same on the other side of the street, and that was our boundary. That's where we stopped.
So you did this invite. You had this group of houses that you were going to invite, yep. to these neighbours to invite.
Yep.
Did you knock on the door or did you just shove the thing through
the
phone?
We shoved it through and ran.
Okay.
Can I say there was another reason we did this, actually, as well? Because previously in our house, they were Plymouth Brethren, and so they didn't have people into their houses. Well, they would. They'd have other Plymouth Brethren, but they didn't have other people. And they wouldn't eat or drink with anyone else. And partly we thought, gosh, what does that paint about Christians, really? Mm. And we wanted to dispel that. That was another thought we had as well when we decided this. So, yeah, we pushed it through and we ran.
Yep. So what was the response? I mean, two or three?
No, almost every house came. Well, we decided maybe they were being nosy. You know, it's a good way to get in someone's house and look around, isn't it? I mean, you might never go back, but at least you've seen inside someone's house. So, almost all of them came. There was one house that didn't come, and we always invite them. I've never met her. I don't know who she is, and she never comes. But all the rest came. And actually, my gorgeous neighbours next door in their late 80s, said, please don't be disappointed, Linda, but it's unlikely people will come.
And they did.
And they did come, yes.
And so you've done this.
So we did that the first year. And then last year, we went a step further. We put the invitation, the church service invitation, in with the invitation and put it in the envelope and put it through their doors.
Yeah.
Because we had seen them already for one summer, because we had an event in the summer as well for them.
Okay.
So we thought, and then we didn't hear from anyone. We thought, we've done it now. We've blown it. Because actually they knew we were Christians, because they asked immediately why we'd moved to the area. So we told them. And as soon as you say you're a pastoral worker in a church, that says it all, really, in many ways.
Yeah.
But also because they said, oh, you're eating and drinking with us. We're allowed in. Do you drink? You know, it was all those questions because they'd known about the previous people. So, we moved on and did that. But I have to say this year, we've given the invitation, but we haven't given the invite out yet, but we have got them ready because I think it would be better to put them into their hands.
As they leave.
Leave, maybe.
Now, you've told the one or two little stories that of people that you've just been encouraged by. What's happened? Do you want to share one or two? Do you feel able to?
Yeah, one lady I've got to know a bit more. And last year she said, you know, something's missing in my life. And we were just sat there chatting with a group of people during the evening. And I thought, oh no, that's one of those moments, isn't it? Something you're missing in my life. And I'm thinking, yes, God. But you can't just sort of say that. Well, maybe some of you would, but I didn't think it was appropriate at that time. And in fact, then I followed it up and said, you know, that there was the Freedom in Christ Questions course. Yeah. And so actually told her after the event, I went back to her because I thought, I can't leave that, I must go back, and invited her to the Questions course. But then she wrote to me rather than speak to me and said, I don't feel that's appropriate now, but I would like to think this year I get back to the church where my children were christened. Just recently I've seen her during the year, but saw her again, and she said, I'm empty. And we didn't, there wasn't a conversation, but she said, I'm really empty. And so, I mean, there has to be an invitation to her again. But what I don't want is every time she sees me, she apologises that she hasn't been to church yet. So that's the other thing, isn't it? Because you don't want people to start avoiding you in case you're going to mention other things. So right. It's a fine balance.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really good.
When's your Christmas party this year?
Friday. So. Yeah, and hopefully there's a new couple coming. So I was saying to Joth, anyone that speaks to me in our street, if I get their address, they then get an invitation. So we're building it up bit by bit of different people. And so there was a couple recently, so they got an invitation. So it'd be good to, if people are praying, pray for this lady that I've been talking with. Pray that this other couple come as
Great.
Well. But it is... I have to say, one of our family have done it, and they did it in flats, and they didn't have a single person come. So it doesn't always work, you know. People don't always respond in that way. So I've been really thankful that they have. I said to them, actually, I was just as thankful that they'd come for my sake, because I got to know who lived in all those houses.
Yeah.
And if Simon's away, I know who's across the road and in the houses. So it's actually really lovely for me, as hopefully it's lovely for them, because they haven't all met with each other.
Right,
so they're
Linda, that's really good to hear that. Thank you so much. People may want to make a comment or two about that in a moment when we kind of have a free mic in a moment or two. You may be sitting there thinking, that will never happen, that never work in our street, and maybe it wouldn't. I guess the worst scenario is no one turns up, but then kind of you haven't lost much, have you? You've just got a free evening then to just drink all the drinks. Well, not all the drinks, but some of the drinks that you've got. But the best thing might happen is that some may come. Some may come. So the opportunity is there. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's way beyond us. You know, we don't have that ability, nor do we have that many friends or that many neighbours around us. But you could still be involved with inviting people to a service. So we do four different carol services that are varied, and they're varied for very good reasons. So a crib service doesn't reach a certain type of person. They tend to be ones with toddlers that come to the crib service. The Wells Place Carol Service is a service that's during the day. So for a lot of elderly people who don't want to come out in the evening, is another opportunity for those people to come to a carol service and enjoy it. It also works very well for those groups that are available in the Wells Place Centre. The Christmas Eve service is particularly focused for community folk, so that they might hear the gospel. And a lot of people, that is the one moment when they think, yeah, we're going to church. We'll start our Christmas at this point, and it's great for kind of older children to adults upwards. And of course, Christmas Day is once again a very light family service, but an opportunity for people to be here. These cards are, you know, designed specially for you to use as an invitation. I was trying to find one that's open, actually. And they do say on them, you are warmly invited. They actually use that terminology. And there's no reason why you can't take these. And you can find a nice Christmas card, perhaps around your neighbourhood or your work colleagues or even your friends. And you can just put that in with... you've got to get the right size Christmas card, you understand. You can't go for one of those small ones. That's no good. And that's a good thing, because you're going to spend a little bit of money on these people. But believe me, we worked it out at about 50p a Christmas card, did we say? Or was it a bit cheaper than that? 39p, something like that, a Christmas card. And you put that in with your Christmas card, and you actually give it to your friend or your work colleague or whoever it may be, or your family, and you invite them to whatever service is appropriate on the back. If you don't want to give them an invite for all the services, but it's a specific one, there are actually specific cards here. Which these were really clever, because they've got the crib service on one side and the candlelit carol service on the other side. So if you don't want to confuse them with too many services, then there's a simpler card that can be used. And you know, I feel like I'm telling you to suck eggs, but I really was compelled in the week when I was thinking about it, thinking actually many of us don't stop and think, how many of these am I going to pick up and how am I going to use them to actually reach other people? We've not done a Christmas party, but last year for the first time, and I'm quite good with excuses. I don't know what you're like, but because we live in Fair Oak, I have never distributed cards, Christmas cards, around our neighbourhood, because St Tom's is down the road, and I feel a bit nervous about kind of putting Eastleigh Baptist Church cards. But for the first time last year, I did that. I put these cards through. And this year we had the Queen's 90th street party on our street. While you were having your party here, we had a party over at Clifford Place in Fair Oak. And all the neighbours came out. We had a great time. So this year I'm going to get them all a Christmas card. And I'm going to put one of these in. And I'm going to say, this is from Kimawa, that's our road, our name of our house, to number 3, or whatever their number is, wishing you a very happy Christmas. And we hope if you've got time, you'll be able to come and attend one of our services. What have we got to lose? Not a lot. What we got to gain? Their salvation. It's got to be worth it, hasn't it? Just a simple little ideas. One of the things we do as a church, of course, is that we pack up loads of these and we distribute them to our local kind of parish, if I could use that word, our local area. And some people have said to me, what a waste of time. It's cold, it's wet in the winter and all that kind of thing. I still massively believe that this is one of the most effective ways that we as a church can actually reach people that perhaps we don't know yet, but they kind of know us. They know us because they walk past the building. It's part of their neighbourhood. It's part of their landscape. And they're interested if things are going on. You wouldn't believe how many people, in fact, we know actually because Jo's here and she told us the other day, but how many people go up and down past this church wondering what on earth goes on inside this and whether they're allowed in, whether they're allowed to come. I mean, people said to me once, am I allowed to come to church? And it's like, whatever gave you the idea that you're not allowed to come to church? What have we done to the point the community are thinking we can't come? It's some kind of club in there. No, it's not. This is a community of worshipping people, isn't it? And so delivering these leaflets just simply tell people we're still alive. There's still something going on in this church. But did you know, I didn't know this, but did you know this is a very, very effective? For commerce, it's very effective. Leaflet dropping is one of the most effective ways of getting business. 79% of people keep, pass on, or read, or glance at door drops. They're not ignored. Most people think, oh, they're just picked up and thrown in the bin. But the statistics show us, as they've researched it, that actually nearly 80% of people at least have a little look at what it is. But some of them go even further. In fact, when we were at Harlow, we haven't done this here, but we used to, every year, whenever it snowed in Harlow, I was out with my camera first thing in the morning taking pictures of the local area in snow. And every Christmas, we would put a picture of a snowy scene in Old Harlow because it was a village kind of community. And I discovered this lady who had been collecting these Christmas cards that come through her door every year, and she had collected them from the very first year. And the very first one was a Harlow Baptist Church in the snow. And then we kind of built up all these different snowy scenes. And she'd been collecting the whole lot. She had the whole lot sitting still on her mantelpiece in the middle of the summer. But she'd been collecting them. So these things can be actually very, very effective. I'm really delighted that most of them have gone, but there is still a few streets. So if anyone wants to do a few streets. And the other wonderful opportunity is that as you put that through the door, I said this at the church meeting, I think, as you put it through the door, you just say a little prayer. I used to pray, actually, that the right side landed on the doormat so they didn't get the boring side, they got the nice side that drew them in. But a little prayer, Lord, just bless this house this Christmas time, is a wonderful prayer to pray as you go delivering these leaflets. So just inviting people is a great thing to do. And you may come up with other ideas in a moment or two. I just want to say one other thing, and then we'll pass over to you in terms of making the most of Christmas. When I reflect back and think, so I've talked about spending time re-immersing yourself in the Christmas story, considering those who aren't yet believers, who are not yet in the story of Jesus, and inviting them into that story. But there's one other thing that will make the most of Christmas that you could do this Christmas time. It may be a little bit late, but look for the opportunity. And this one may be kind of, we pray to the Lord that the opportunity will come. One of the best Christmases that I had as a child, I didn't think it was going to be the best Christmas. I thought it was going to be the worst Christmas. My parents decided that they would invite a little old lady in our church for Christmas Day. Her name was Chappie. Chappie lived in a home. She'd lived in a home since she was about the age of 55. She'd lived in this home for about 20 years. And apparently, no one had ever invited her to their home for Christmas. She had 20 Christmases in an old people's home. She was a very ill lady, very frail lady. But we picked her up, we took her to this church service, we brought her home. I remember thinking as a kid, I was thinking, why on earth are we bringing this old person in here to ruin our Christmas day? Chappie was wonderful. One, she loved it. But she was such a blast. We had such a great time. And what that taught me, I think I was probably about 14, 15. What that taught me was that when you give of yourself to someone else in need at Christmas, something special happens. That person is blessed. But somehow, you get huge blessing back, don't you? And so my point is simply this. The fourth thing is to look for an opportunity to just bless someone in need. Now, I know some of you are doing that for the Christmas Day meal, and people who are single or not got any families to go to are able to come and enjoy Christmas together. But there might be other opportunities. It might be a neighbour just down the road that you can just drop a gift in. Or you can pop in on Christmas Day. Go. What about a pastoral visit on Christmas Day? Have you ever done a pastoral visit? I've done pastoral visits on Christmas Day. It's one of the most blessed things to do on Christmas Day. Just to pop into someone, just for 10 minutes, just to say, I'm just popping in. I know you're on your own. And I just wanted to say, Happy Christmas. And perhaps take them a little gift or something. So be on the lookout. Pray, Lord, lead me to a situation. And I would think if you did those four things, so let's just remind you what they are. Spending a bit of time just re-engaging, re-immersing yourself in the story that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Considering all those people that are not yet in that story. Stopping and giving time and intentionally inviting them to something, so they might find out more about what God has done for them. And then fourthly, looking for an opportunity, maybe a random opportunity, where you might bless someone this Christmas who may be on their own or is in need in some way. And I think you will get the most out of Christmas this year if you do those four simple things. Let's